This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Amen. Well, listen, my name is Jason. Thanks for spending some time with us this weekend. We're incredibly excited about what God is going to say, what God is going to do in the remainder of the service, what he's already done. And so this morning, I want to make mention I'll wait on that. So let's get right into the message. Anybody excited about the message this morning? Excited about the Word of God? The title of the message this morning is Failure is Not Final. Failure is not final. And let me just tell a couple of stories. Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore, but some days I sit and wish I was a kid. All right. It's just white people, no flavor whatsoever, you know? I'm just playing. But back in the day, a little while ago, it was all about this thing kind of began to surface and kind of circulate on YouTube, and it was called Epic Fail, right? Epic Fails. And it would be videos that people would put together of people in everyday life failing in their life. There would be people, ladies walking out of their house, falling down the stairs, and it was caught on their video, their doorbell video or whatever. And then afterwards, it would be Epic Fail. And it would be kids running and not watching where they're running and running into a wall and Epic Fail. And, it was this big thing that they put compilations together, and you'd watch them and laugh because they were just people doing everyday things and things that we've all done before, and so it just kind of became humorous. And I like to think, what is an epic fail moment? Well, an epic fail moment to me is like when you're on a first date, and the girl that you're going out with, she's sitting right in front of me. Amen. Went out with her for the first time, and that was the last one I ever needed. Come on, somebody. And but I remember being very nervous because she was incredibly beautiful and sophisticated and smart and intelligent and stylish. And I thought, man, so finally someone that matches me. No, I'm just I'm just playing kinda. I'm just kidding, kinda. All right. But anyway, we went on the date. And maybe you've been on a first date where it's like that. You're incredibly nervous. You're frantic. You're kind of frazzled everywhere, trying to think about what I should wear. Is my breath good? Trying to make every hair is in place. You're good. You're solid. And you're so frantic because you're so nervous about the date that you're on the way to the date. You're about to be late, and you're on the way to the door, and you realize in the moment, I forgot my wallet. That is an epic fail moment, right? Because what are you going to do? Pick her up and be like, I just wanted to show you my neighborhood. She's like, creeper alert, get me out of here, right? Right? Or so you try to come up with something creative, like, I want to do something different. You're special. I want to take you to the park and just get to know you, right? Like, this is an epic fail. There's no rebounding. There's no coming back from this, right? In that moment. And then after epic fail kind of began to happen, then we had, hashtag fail. And it was anything like you go to work and you realize that the little Rubbermaid Tupperware that you brought because you're trying to eat clean, and I'm keto. I eat keto. You know what I mean? I eat keto. I don't eat any carbs or anything like that. I eat keto. And what'd you have for breakfast? 18 eggs and 47 strips of bacon. I eat keto. Like, it's weird though. I'm gaining weight. Like, my muffin top got bigger. Just because you call it keto doesn't mean you don't have to operate in any kind of self-control, all right? Some of y'all laughing. You got people at work just like that. I don't get it. We all get it. Right? I try and I try. All right, anyway. And so, hashtag fail is like, the Tupperware that you took to work. You get to work and you're all excited about it because you're eating clean and you're making progress and you worked out that morning and you're feeling like a champion. You're like, the eye of the tiger is the track that's playing in your head. You know what I mean? You're fired up. You're ready to win today, baby. Hashtag all I do is win. You know what I mean? No matter what. Like, that's all I do. And so you got this plan. You're ready, man. You walk into the break room of work. You open that thing. You're ready to tear into that Tupperware. Gonna show her who's boss. And you realize that what you packed was the wrong Tupperware. It was the Tupperware that your boo thing left in the refrigerator from 8 weeks ago, because she don't ever like to take nothing out of the refrigerator because it's gross, but she always wants to take her leftovers home. Hashtag marriage problems. All right, all right. Right? So you realize, oh my God, I don't have a lunch. I have a grotesque portion of whatever that is under that mold. Right? And you go, oh my God. And so then it's like, then all the temptation begins to come in. Do I want In-N-Out? Right? Do I want this? No, I'm going to eat clean. I'm eating keto. Right? Like, so you go back. This is a fail. And so I wanted to talk about a couple of little issues, fails that I had as a dad. I was a first-time dad. And talking about like myself in the third person just makes me feel important. But I was first-time daddy, and we had our son, Avon, and he was just, I think, about 1.5, maybe 2 years old. And Liz made the mistake of leaving her child alone with her with his father. And so she's like, babe, you know, just make sure that before I get home that you bathe him. I said, okay, cool, I got this. I'm a dad, intelligent, I got this. Got to unlock. I didn't realize that when you turn on the water, that sometimes children become cats. They run and act like you are killing them if you put them in water. I'm like, son, you're made up of how 80-something percent of what? Whatever it is, I don't know, okay, or whatever. Right? But and so anyway, so I'm like, you know what? He needs a bath. I need a shower. Did what any good dad would do. I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. Hashtag slaying it. Come on, somebody. Right? Doing it. Get him in there. I neglected to remember that when you take a shower, you get slippery. And I have my son. I'm like, come on, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be like the rain. Just like the rain. And so I made the mistake of my son is like, all he knows is bath. He's like, where's the rubber ducky? Where's the trucks? Where's the stuff? I'm like, hey, man, we're going to do this like grown men, you know? Right? So I got him in there. I'm holding him. I turned the water on. I'm washing. I put some stuff in my hair, put some stuff in his hair. All of a sudden, he begins to run down. He starts screaming as soon as I turn the water on. He's like absolutely trying to claw his way out of my arms when I'm holding him, trying to wash the suds off of him. And all of a sudden, I begin to realize, oh, my God, this isn't going well. Right? He's trying to crawl out of my arms. I'm holding him with one eye, trying to get the soap out of y'all ever had a moment like this? Trying to get the soap out of my eyes. It's burning me. I'm like, it's okay, baby. It's okay. I'm crying. It's okay. It's okay. Right? So I'm doing this, and I didn't realize that this was going to be so new to him. It was going to traumatize him going into the shower. I'm like, you don't do this when we turn the sprinklers on. Why are you freaking out? Right? And so he's freaking out, and finally I get him washed off. He's crying. He's trying to get out, you know, and so I wash him off. I dry him off, and, you know, it's no big deal. He's traumatized. He's 21. Doesn't take showers to this day, but it's all good. No, not really. He's 8 years old, and he takes showers today, but it was a dad fail moment. And I have one more that I could talk about my dad. If you know anything about my daddy, man, he just does things that, like, it's a movie. Like, we could make a movie of Pastor Terry and some of the things that he does, because my dad is incredibly focused. And once he starts thinking about something, he loses sight of everything and everyone else around him. And so he will do the, like, okay, so my dad is an incredibly giving, generous person, correct? And if you don't know him, he is this way. And he's got people around him that try to protect him, because he'll literally give the shirt off of his back. He'll give his money away. Oh, you have a hard life? Take my house. You know what I mean? He's, like, incredibly generous this way. And so he allowed one of my buddy's name is Anthony Favilla. He allowed Anthony to use his Cadillac Escalade. Come on, somebody. Right, he allowed him to use this, and so he's using this, or I don't know if it's the Escalade or the truck, but anyway, Anthony's using this truck, and Anthony had this little, like, 1992 Honda Accord, like burgundy, kind of mixed colors, right? So my dad says, you take this, son, I'll drive your car today, so Anthony could go, you know, do whatever he needed to do, have a good time, whatever. So my dad's giving this way, so my dad says, I'm gonna go to Safeway. So he goes in Safeway. He gets his little stuff, takes him a while. He's on the phone. Took him probably an hour and a half to get three items. But he comes back out, And he's looking around for the car, and he's on the phone. Which car am I in again? Which car am I in again? And so he finds a Honda Accord, 1992. And so he takes the key, and he proceeds to open the door. And he's on the phone. He's not thinking about it. He gets in the car. He puts the key in the ignition, and he notices that he's having trouble starting the car. At that moment, somebody knocks on the window. Says, "Excuse me, sir, you're in my car." My dad had got in the wrong 1992 Honda Accord. Can you imagine? What do you say? "I'm not stealing your car." So we've all had these fail moments. And I'm sure if I went around the room that you could give me different scenarios. Or scenarios, if you're intelligent, right? You could give me... You go catch some of this on the way home. Like, oh, that's what he meant. But we've all had these fail moments. And some of them are funny and some of them are lighthearted. But then we've also had areas of life where we have made huge mistakes and blunders and failures to where it's affected our family, our finances, our future. And so this is what I want to talk about this morning, that failure is not final, especially as you get into the good news of Jesus Christ. Failure is universal, though, right? Because we've all failed. Everyone can relate because we've all failed at something at some point. Many of us have failed ongoingly in different areas of our lives, and this is why we need a Savior, because failure is inevitable if you are a human being. And this is, we need a Savior. This is the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ that we could not measure up, but he did, and he can now empower us to live the life that he has designed for us. Somebody say amen. The question is not if you have failed, but rather how you and I respond when failure occurs. Right now listen, I'm going to preach some this morning, but I'm also going to teach. And so you and I need to become people that aren't just passionate, aren't just inspired, aren't just lifted up when we come to church. All those things are going to happen, but we also need to become people who are learners. Because the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you understand, studies say that when you go into an environment like this and you listen only, you remember about 5% of what was said. But if you take notes about what was said and you follow along in the Bible, it goes from 5% to 35%. Okay, this is incredible that just by you taking, it doesn't mean you have to take notes verbatim, but you do need to take notes of what strikes you, what hits you. What is God saying to you about what I'm saying? Okay, those are the kinds of things that you want to take notes on and make sure that you look back over them and you can remember them during the week and as you live your life. So make sure that you do that. Hell wants to label you and mock you and taunt you about your failures. How many of you found that out to be the truth, right? Heaven wants to release you and heal you and free you from your failures. Failure should not become a prison cell where you are held hostage for the rest of your life by your mistakes, okay? Let me say that again. Failure should not become a prison cell where you are held hostage for the rest of your life by the mistakes that you have made. And yet, if we're honest, that's where the enemy has many of us this morning. We are in a prison cell of limitation and condemnation that the enemy has tried to come and bring to you and limit you because of the mistakes that you have made and the failures that you have committed. Now he says, hey, look, you've done this. Now you can't expect God to do good things in your life. Okay, this is the lie. Someone say the lie. If you're taking notes, write this down. Failure is not final, it is formative. Come on, somebody. Failure is not final, it is formative. It forms things in you. It'll form a stability in you. It'll form a tenacity in you that I'm not going to be here for the rest of my life. This isn't all that God has for me. So failure is not final. The enemy wants failure to be final. He wants that to be the last chapter of your life. God says, no, failure is not final. Failure is formative. If you never fail, how do you expect to learn? We can always learn by the person of the Holy Spirit, but there are some things where you begin to learn just like riding a bike. You learn by failing. You got on the bike, you learned how to keep your balance, how to pedal, and you fell over several times, but eventually you learned, come on somebody, failure was fuel for you to find out how to do what you wanted to do. So failure is not final, it's formative. It's part of your journey. It's part, someone say part. It's part of your story. It's not the end of your story. Man, this is the gospel of Jesus. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what situation you find yourself in, this is the good news of Jesus. Now listen to this. I love this. Write this down. The only time you truly fail is when you fail to try. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets up again. The only time you and I truly fail is when we fail to get up and go again. When we fail to try, that is really the only time that you truly fail, because if you will get up and go again, God will help you get out of what you're in and get into what he wants you to be in. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Listen to this. You might have made a mistake, but you are not one. The devil wants you to think that because you've made mistakes, because you've fallen, because you've tripped up over and over again, that you are a mistake, that this is who you are. That is not who you are. I love what T.D. Jakes said. You might have done what they say that you did, but you are not who they say that you are. Come on, somebody. I'm not who they call me. I'm who he calls me. And he calls me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed coming in and blessed going out. Is anybody grateful today that God doesn't define you by your failures? He says it's going to form you into what I called you to be. Somebody shout yes. Woo, sounds like we're going to some church with some people that have some stories. Micah 7:8, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Oh, I like it. I like it. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, God will be a light to me. I came to preach to somebody this morning. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how depressed you may feel. I don't care how heavy you may be. When you sit in darkness, we still serve a God who knows how to come into that darkness, and he is a light unto you. The psalmist said, where would I be if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side? He brought me up out of the miry pit and set my feet upon a rock. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning that says, my God delivered me out of addiction, he delivered me out of depression, he delivered me out of fear, and I'm here this morning to give him some praise? Hallelujah. Ooh, y'all gonna make me pick up my towel in here this morning. When I fall, I shall arise. You know, we got to be kind of like, remember those toys that when you were a kid, you'd blow them up and they were about this tall and they were like a cylinder and they had the weight on the bottom. I mean, you could punch that thing as hard as you possibly could. And as long as it had air in it, it would just boom, pop right back up. Right? You understand, the devil didn't come up with horror movies. Devil didn't come up with horror movies. Devil has no power to create. He only has power to pervert that which has been created. So the reason why the devil makes horror movies is because the first horror movie for him was when he thought he killed Jesus. I'm just waiting for you to catch up to this white boy up here. The devil thought, hey, we did it. We killed Jesus on the cross. They put him in the tomb. All of hell is throwing a party. And all of a sudden, the walls of hell began to shake. And they said, hey, bro, I thought we took care of him 3 days ago. We did. I saw him. He was in the grave. We killed him. We put him on the cross. We put him in the grave. It's over. It's a done deal. And all of a sudden, fear began to hit the devil when Jesus walked down into hell and he said, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Come on, I'm not afraid of him because he's afraid of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is... Come on, somebody say it with me. Say, failure is not final. It's not, man. Don't buy that lie from the enemy. People and critics and haters will try to define you by your failures, but God never does. Let's talk about it for a little bit. Adam and Eve, they failed, right? They failed. How sad would it be to be able to walk around naked with your wife all day? I mean, I'm talking about, I'm in paradise right now. I'm like, can we take me back? I really want to go back, right? Take me back, Jesus, to the garden. I'd love that life. Tend the garden. and walk around with your wife all day. We can do that. Hallelujah. Right? We can do that. And yet they saw this tree that God said, don't touch. And this is a lot like the tithe and the offering. That's why some of you aren't blessed yet. I shouldn't say you're not blessed, but the blessing isn't in operation the way that it could be. You're blessed if you're a child of God, but there are certain things that God asks you to do in order for that blessing to come into full operation. Somebody ought to say amen. Right? And so, but he said, don't touch the one. You can have the 90, but don't touch that one. That's a picture of the tithe. If you don't touch the tithe, you can live in paradise. Y'all ain't here. But anyway, this is where God wants to get you back to a place where you live in the garden. You live in paradise. You live in beautiful communion with him and walking with him in the cool of the day. You live in his presence. You live in a place that is fully provided. You have more than enough. You can invite other people into that garden. Somebody say amen. And yet they failed. They saw the tree that it was beautiful. It was good for food and it was appealing to the eye. And they failed. They gave in to, they yielded to temptation, right? What about Noah? Noah failed. He got drunk. Lady in here is like, I always knew I could relate to Noah. I knew it. Deep cries out to deep in Jesus' name. I could relate to him. Right? That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. That's good stuff. And yet he failed, and his sons had to carry him to the tent and put him in there because he was so drunk. He was so tipsy. I don't get drunk. I just get tipsy. Come on, somebody. Come on, man. I know we're reaching people that don't know Jesus, reaching people that were in the club last night, reaching people that were in the bar last night. That's who we need to be reaching. But at the end of the day, we can find something that's better than alcohol. Come on, somebody. And so they failed. Noah failed. He got drunk and he found himself in a pretty messy situation. And then what about Moses, right? Moses, he failed. He murdered a guy. He murdered a guy and stuttered. He failed. Yet he wasn't the only one. What about Rahab, right? Rahab had really, really bad self-esteem and a really low self-image of herself, low self-worth. And so out of that, she began to turn to harlotry. And so she failed. What about Abraham? Abraham was a moon worshiper, and he was a liar. And yet, so he failed. Sarah laughed at the promise of God. She laughed in unbelief at the promise of God to begin with. And so she failed. What about Gideon, right? Gideon was insecure and I mean, big time depression and insecurity on Gideon, so much so that he was suicidal, wanted to kill himself. So he failed. We've all failed and have different kinds of varying issues, yet they all have one thing in common. God didn't give up on one of them. And God used every one of them for his glory after they had failed. Oh, that's good news for somebody. I could preach, but let me just keep rolling. Someone say, keep rolling. I want to talk a little bit about Simon Peter. I did not give you guys this particular set of scriptures, but let me give it to you now, and you can find them as we kind of track that way. Luke chapter 22, verses 57 through 61. Luke chapter 22, verses 57 through 61. And then John chapter 21, verses 1 and then 3 through 6. John 21, verses 1 and then 3 through 6. If you got it, give me a thumbs up back there. I mean, you don't have to get them and put them up right now. I just mean that you got the numbers. Let me read them one more time just so I make sure you got them. Luke chapter 22, verses 57 through 61. And then John chapter 21, verses 1, and then 3 through 6. And I want to talk a little bit about the life of Peter. As soon as you have, I need Luke, I believe, first. Either one, Luke or John. If you have it, you can put it up there, and then we'll go from there. I want to talk a little bit about Peter, because I think Peter is one of the easiest characters in the Bible to relate to, because he was absolutely, you know, Peter was one of these guys that he was like all heart and half brain, you know, right? Y'all ever have a friend like that? They're really fun to be with, you know what I mean? Super fun. They make every environment fun, you know? You know, you take them to a football game, they're hilarious, they're fun. You take them to a movie, you're like, bro, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, they're just all heart, man. Just all, they make, we need people like this. Come on, somebody, right? We need people like this. And Peter was one of those. He was like a fullback. Just put your head down and go for it, you know? And you need people like that. And this is what Peter was. And And I like him because he's so relatable, because the Bible lets us into his humanity, that he was boisterous when he had success, and yet when he failed, it wasn't a secret. It was kind of out there for everybody to see. So do we have Luke or John there? Yes, perfect. Okay, for he who is great. This is what happens when you give it to him late. Is that 57? 57, guys. There we go. Luke chapter 22, verse 57. 57 through 61. And that was my fault. Absolutely not theirs. They're doing their job and they're killing it. Let's give it up for the tech team. Come on, somebody. You guys are miracle workers. And I meant to give that to you by the time I came out, but didn't do it. All right, here we go. This is talking about Peter, where Peter did not. We're talking about failures, not final. And I want to look at the life of Peter because it's an obvious example, but it's also, I think, revealing. I think there's some things here that God showed me that I hadn't seen in this context before. And so this is, they're in the courtyard here. This is where Jesus had been taken from them and taken from them to be crucified now. And so now all the disciples left. Peter's really the only one that follows Jesus, because Peter said, if everybody else denies you, I will not. You know, he just says stuff out loud. Boom, this is what I feel. This is who I am. He says, I'll never deny you if everyone denies you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. Or before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Or thrice, if you're reading the King James. Come on, somebody. And he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know Jesus. And we'll just keep reading. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said for the second time, man, I am not. The second denial. Then after about an hour passed, another confidently affirmed him, saying, surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, the third time, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed twice. And the Lord Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine? Jesus, in the hour where he's getting turned over to be crucified, the man that you love, the man that you know to be the Messiah of the world, and you said, I'll never forsake you. You just denied him three times, and he looks at you in that moment. Wow. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now let's go to John. Let's look at John's account. And that would be John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 1 and 3 through 6. John chapter 21, I will find it in case they cannot. So, perfect. After these things, someone say these things. After, what are these things? These things is the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that is what it's referring to when it says after these things. These things are the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus now is risen from the dead. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. And then verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Wow. They said to him, we are going with you also. Now let me just give you a little bit of context here. Peter was a professional fisherman. This is what Peter did before Jesus called him. Before Peter went on this 3-year-long journey with Jesus, he was a professional fisherman. In fact, when Jesus called him into the ministry, Peter was fishing. This is what Peter did. So Peter saying, I'm going fishing, isn't like the average dad saying, I'm going fishing on the weekend. I won't catch anything because I'm really bad at it. That was a joke. Thank you for the courtesy laugh, all right? But this was Peter, a professional, saying, I'm no longer going to follow Jesus because my shame and my condemnation won't allow me to be in his presence anymore. So I'm going to go back to what I knew. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to Cali, y'all. That's too much flavor for the white people. No, I'm just playing. I do know I'm white. He's like, does he not know he's white, Mildred? It's like that mom that comes into church. You know what I mean? She's like, only kids can understand what moms say through clenched teeth. You know what I mean? Now, if we go into this church and you embarrass me, I will end you. I will kill you. They're like, hi, sister. She's like, hello, blessed, highly favored. Right? My God, where was I? Oh, yeah, yeah. So Peter's saying, it's like Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. And those of you who think LeBron James is, you're just misguided. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll teach you. I'll school you up later. But the greatest basketball player to ever live is Michael Jordan. And I can still remember being a young kid. And Michael Jordan comes and he says he retired from baseball and had just unfortunate foray into baseball, came back, and he said, I'm going to play basketball again. We all knew he was a professional basketball player, the best that had ever lived. So when Michael Jordan said, I'm going to play basketball again, he was talking about a career change. So when Peter said, I'm no longer following, when he said, I'm going fishing, he said, career change, I'm not following. Come on, somebody. Okay. My whole life has changed because of my failure. I'm not worthy to follow Jesus because of my failure. The devil keeps condemning me and putting shame on me, so I'm just going to go back and do what I know to do because the failure is killing me. Every time I hear a rooster crow, I am reminded. So with every new day, everybody else is filled with hope for a new day, and I'm filled with shame because of the failure. Come on, somebody. Because of the failure that I have committed. I didn't do it once. I did it three times. And I think that it's beautiful that we see the life of Peter because we see Jesus' love on Peter after. Someone say after. After the mistake, after the failure, after the denial of Jesus. Man, I feel my help coming in here now. Because every one of us, let us not become religious and forget about what we were before Jesus found us. What you and I deserve is to go to hell and spend eternity there. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life to those who will believe in Jesus. Come on, is anybody grateful that I don't get what I deserve? I get what Jesus purchased for me. Come on, that was horribly weak. If you're grateful in here for what Jesus has done, let's give him some praise this morning. Come on, praise him because you're forgiven. Praise him because your failure's not final. Praise him because there's still a future for you. Somebody lift up a shout in here. Sometimes I feel like we need to give you permission to express your gratitude. To the Lord, this is Jesus we're talking. I feel like preaching for a minute in here. This is Jesus. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, the rock out of the house of Jacob, the one whose words is like a two-edged sword, piercing going in and healing coming back out. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my Redeemer. He is my deliverer. He is my healer. He is holy. He is righteous. He is awesome. There is nobody like Jesus. Come on, when you speak his name, mountains have to flee. When you speak his name, demons have to go. When you praise his name, prison doors have to open. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the one who pulled you out of your greatest failure. The one who delivered you. The one who gave you a future. The one who loved you when you were unlovable. I know it's about to be 49er season and I hope they have a better year. But I'm not going to let them be more excited about the 49ers than I am excited about my Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo. Sometimes people won't understand your praise until they understand your breakthrough. Come on, I could stay there for a minute, but let me just preach for a little bit. Let me just preach for a little bit. We're talking about Peter. Somebody say Peter. I felt like Allen Iverson right there. We're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. Practice. Yeah, Allen, and if you would have practiced, you would have been. All right, all right. All right, that's the drill sergeant coming out of me. We're talking about Peter. And Peter made this horrible mistake, and every day he's reminded when the rooster crows that I failed the very one that I love. You want to know the meaning of life? The meaning of your life and my life is to love him well. Because if we love him well, then everything else begins to fall into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, man, they come into the instruments. They telling me, you're going long, Pastor. You're going long. I'm just kidding. Come on, I don't feel like I'm going long. It feel like I just got here. Amen. Come on, back in the day, we'd have four-hour services. You could be a kid, sleep for an hour, wake up, still get some good word. Hallelujah. Talking about Jason, you sleeping, you going, I ain't going to miss it. I'll wake up in an hour, still get some. Hallelujah. Right? These little hour, 15-minute joints, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't know nothing about my life. Hashtag church problems. Parents left me under this. They used to leave me at church. Let him sleep. But Peter made these mistakes, and and Jesus comes back. I love this, y'all. Jesus comes back after he's raised from the dead, and he sends an angel to the tomb that he just came out of. I love that. He sends an angel to the tomb that he just came out of where his disciples are still gathered. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we gather around what feels like the biggest failure, the biggest challenge, the biggest problem in our life? The biggest problem in their life is that they thought Jesus was dead. So they're gathering around the biggest challenge. Jesus has already been raised from the dead. Now he's got to send an angel to the problem where they're gathering. Say, hey, there's no more problem. Because I'm no longer in the tomb. I've been raised from the dead. This is what Jesus said. He said, now go tell my disciples. And go tell my disciples and Peter. Because Jesus knew if you just say disciples, Peter will feel like he's disqualified. Because he denied Jesus. He feels like he's not even a Christian, much less a disciple. So you go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going to wait for them in the upper room. Come on, somebody. And listen, I want you to invite. It's going to be a very exclusive group. The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. It's an invite only. I invited 500. 120 showed up. That's why some of you don't get your blessing and don't get your favor. Because God's inviting you to a whole nother level and you declined the invitation. But as for me and my house, whatever God says you're invited to, I'm going to take him up on it. I'm going to get everything God has for me. Come on, somebody. I'm going to show up to church during football season. I'm going to serve. I'm going to get on the dream team so Dan and Deb don't have to do all those children's come on services. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to park cars. I'm going to show up. I'm going to clean the church. I'm going to show up. I'm going to get up here and sing because I can sing. I can't just sing. I can sing. Right? I'll get in there and change some diapers in the name of Jesus. I'll get up in there, teach some kids how to be, you know, I'll dance in front of them. I'll do whatever. Because listen, God's invited me to a whole nother level. And I'm not going to be you 380 jokers that don't get that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get up there to the upper room. Yeah. Woo. I just heard the Lord say, because elevation requires dedication. I want elevation in my finances. I'm tired. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of being blessed financially, but then my marriage is jacked up. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of being depressed. Well, then listen, God wants to bring some elevation, but it's going to cost you some dedication. Serving the outreach. Come on. I mean, Romel and Cecile serving out there for years. Their family is blessed, anointed, favored of God because they understand. I know elevation is going to cost me some dedication. And so when I don't feel like getting up on Saturday morning and knocking on doors, hello, we are here again. We are going to minister Jesus to you. And I know you hate us right now, but we love you anyway. Come out here because people are getting healed. A little girl just got healed. How do you cuss at me when a little girl just got healed? Jesus loves you. Come on, somebody. I don't care what you gotta do.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Woo. God, I felt that all over my body. I don't know how you're sitting there. God will bring elevation to you if you'll just give him some dedication. Where's my towel? Right? They keep it over there, so like maybe he won't find it. Then he has to close early. Jesus comes to Peter, and I love this, y'all. He said, Peter, he said, do you love me? right there after the resurrection on the shore. Peter said, I'm going fishing, man. Forget this. But some of you would use different verbiage. Be like, how he know me, mama? How he know me? He shows up. I'm going fishing. Forget this. Tired of the shame, the pain, the hurt. Every morning a rooster crows. And I'm reminded of how big of a failure I am. So I'm going fishing. So they fished all night. One thing about being a leader, even when you're going the wrong direction, people still follow you. Huh? Y'all knew that dude was an idiot in high school. Like, where are we going? I don't know, bro. I don't know, but I'm just going. Right? Because when you got a gift of leadership on you, people will follow you even the wrong direction. They said, we going with you, Peter. We know you're a man. We know. So we're going to go. They fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus showed up the next morning. Oh, man. And he said, children. He didn't say failure. Come on, Peter was out there with it. He didn't say failure. What's wrong with you? What are you doing? Why aren't you following? He said, children, I know you denied me. I know you said you don't know me. I know you started cussing to make sure they didn't believe. Children, come on, I feel the anointing. No matter what you've done, and no matter how much the devil tries to make you think you're not worthy, and God can't bless you, and God doesn't have good things for you, and God can't guide you into a place of dedication and correction and prune you and get you to a place of holiness, get you to a place that's pleasing unto him. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to think you can. And he thinks, no, you're not a child of God. No, you barely might make heaven. You just better show up to church and just go back to your bondage. He didn't show up. Listen, no matter what you're in, he said, children, come on, can you hear Jesus this morning? Showing up after you've gone your own way, tried to make it work your own way. He shows up this morning. Children, family, ones that I love, ones that I gave my life. Oh, come on, somebody. Children, he says, have you any food? And they said, no. And Jesus said, come here. Take some fish that I've prepared for you. What does Jesus do when you fail? He'll serve you. Jesus doesn't condemn you. I feel the presence of God in here. Don't let religion make you miss this. Jesus doesn't condemn you when you fail. Jesus will love you and he will serve you when you fail. He gave them what he knew they needed to get them back to a place where they could follow him. Now, it's still their choice whether they're going to receive it. Jesus can't do everything for you. Come on, he can provide it. He can love. He can say, children, he can say, here's what you need. And then it's up to us. And if you have slapped his hand 1,000 times, come on, he's still right there offering. Come on, somebody. And then he said, right after they ate, he said, now, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know, yes, I love you. Then Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And then Jesus asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? Like, if you read this through religious glasses, you'll think Jesus is rubbing that in his face. He denied him 3 times. So now he asked him if he loved him 3 times. But that's through religious glasses. When you see it for what it truly is, Jesus said, Peter, when you come into my presence, I can restore every mistake that you made. 3 denials? Let me give you 3 confirmations. I still love you. Now listen, the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, the same Peter who lied, the same Peter who cussed, the same Peter who went gangsta on a dude's ear and sliced it off. I'm going to be like, yeah, keep playing, fool. I'm from Nazareth. You don't know me. I'm just playing. He wasn't from Nazareth. This same Peter, listen, God didn't choose John to preach on the day of Pentecost. The one whom Jesus loved. God didn't use Matthew. God didn't use Mark. God didn't use Thomas. God didn't use them. God chose Simon to preach on the day of Pentecost. And one of the greatest moves of God that the world has ever seen was poured out after Peter preached the gospel. Because Jesus wants you to know, just because you failed doesn't mean I won't still use you for my glory. Peter, I'm going to use you. Come on, somebody say amen. So let me just get, oh, Jesus, man. I didn't get to the best part. Listen, I'd love to preach it, but if I preach it, that means there's several hundred people that are coming behind you that we get a bit of a traffic jam and all that. So, if you want to hear the best part, just come next service. Amen. Yeah. Come on, have you received anything this morning? Come on, do you love Jesus this morning? Are you grateful that your failure is not final? Come on, stand to your feet this morning all over the room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Grateful to be in your house this morning. Grateful to be in your presence. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, we just want to give you the opportunity to know him, to receive him into your life, to receive the forgiveness, salvation, the amazing life and relationship with him that he's provided for you and for me. Secondly, you say, you know what, I'm here, Pastor, and I've known Jesus, but I'm far from him, and I have been fighting that fight of feeling like my failures are keeping me from what Jesus intends me to be. On the count of three, if that's you, I just simply want you to lift your hand, and either one of those invitations, you lift your hand. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. God's going to do a miracle. God's going to do an amazing work in your life. If that's you, on the count of three, lift them up. One, two, three, lift them up. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hands up all over the room. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I believe, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of my life. I confess, Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And by your grace, I turn away from sinful ways and I turn to you. Jesus, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice with every person that just made a decision.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.